And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is the Ken Blanchard series. Actually, the Dr. Ken Blanchard series.
You don't have to call it doctor. You know? Getting a PhD is more endurance than it is intelligence.
Oh, I appreciate that. Maybe I should go after my PhD.
I think you should.
You give me hope. This particular session, doctor, is a bunch of random callers who had questions, and they basically said, if I could talk to Ken Blanchard, this is what I would ask him. So get ready, and not any particular order. You're talking to America now. The first question is, are you Cher? Do you reinvent yourself every 10 years like she does, minus the plastic surgery?
Well, I think I'm reinventing myself every time I get on a new book or a new subject, you know, because I'm a constant learner. That's why I like to write with other people. So I think I reinvent myself more than every 10 years. I'm kind of constantly learning and reinventing.
Very good. What advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
My 20-year-old self is just remember that life is a very special occasion, and don't get all hung up what you're doing now. Keep your head up and look for opportunities, because you never might know what might come along that'll take you in another direction that you ought to be going.
Ooh, I like that. Almost like an eagle's perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Nice answer. Dr. Blanchard, this next caller wants to know, why the heck do you love the end of the movie Ghost?
Well, it's really interesting because Demi Moore, who's the star in there, you know, in the movie, she would say to Patrick Swayze, you know, I love you, and he would say ditto. And he never really said he loved her. And now he comes back as a ghost, you know, and he says to her, I love you. And she smiles at him, and she says ditto. He kind of turns to go away, and he stops, and he turns back to her, and he says, you know, the marvelous thing about this, you know, as he's going away to heaven or wherever, is that you can take the love with you. And I think that's all you're going to take out of this life. And I think that's what's so important and why I love it, is because I think that leadership, servant leadership in particular, is love in action. And that I always say to people, love is the question, you know. Mm-hmm. Love is the answer. What's the question? And so I think that's what's really special about that.
It makes me want to go out and rent the movie.
Yeah.
It's that good of a movie. Thank you for that. Another caller, Dr. Blanchard, wants to know, what does soar like eagles versus quack like ducks mean now that we're in the year 2020?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's still alive and well, you know, because as a customer, if you got a problem with most organizations, you go to them. You don't get anybody that's going to solve it. You get a duck that goes, quack, quack, it's our policy. Quack, quack, I just work here. Quack, quack, do you want to talk to my supervisor? Quack, 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 quack. Where if you go to a real organization that's run by a servant leader, you got an eagle rather than a duck. And my favorite story about that is that when I go flying, I have this thing I put around my neck. I call it my geezer pouch, you know. And in that, I put my ticket, my passport if I need it, my itinerary, pen and pencil and all. And I go around the airport, what do you need and all that. And one day I loaded my geezer pouch and I left it on my desk. And I'm pulling into the airport in San Diego. And I realize I have no identification. And this is a couple of years after 9/11. So they're kind of, you know, a little uptight. But fortunately, the only book I've ever written with my picture on the cover is the one I wrote with Don Shula, the Miami Dolphins coach. So I ran into the bookstore at the airport, and luckily they had a copy, so I bought it. And fortunately, the first airline I had to go to was Southwest, and so the guy said, can I see your identification? And I said, yeah, I apologize, I don't have a license or a passport, but how's this? And I held the book up, and he shouts out, this guy knows Don Shula. Put them in first class, and they're high-fiving me out in the street and all. And there's an older guy there, and he said, I know the security guards upstairs. I can work you through there, which he does, which is, you know, typical Southwest Airlines. I told that story to Herb and Colleen. They say, well, great. We tell our people to bring their brains to work. The next day or so, I had to go on another flight from a different airline, and I showed the book again, and all I got was ducks. Quack, quack, you better talk to the ticket counter. And I showed the woman, quack, you better talk to my supervisor. We call the supervisory duck the head mallard.
Of course.
They just quack at a higher level. And pretty soon I'm talking to a guy in a suit and a tie, you know. And he's quacking at me and all that. And finally, you know, I was able to convince him that, you know, why would I superimpose my picture on this book mm-hmm. just to get by you and all. But it's the difference. What we're always looking for out there in our customer service work is organizations where if you got a problem, you're talking to an eagle. You know, like Nordstrom says, no problem. I'll take care of it.
Even if they don't sell snow tires, they'll take them.
That's right.
Take them back. Boy, did they make money off of that.
That's right.
That one story.
And, you know, they do sell snow tires because
online.
I got to know Nordstrom's in their Alaska store.
Yeah, sure. And one other comment about Southwest Airlines. On a flight that I took a couple of weeks ago to Burbank, it was the hardest landing that I'd ever experienced on Southwest Airlines. And the flight attendant comes on and goes, that landing was from none and only our own Wilbur and Orville Wright, our pilots today. And everybody cracked up laughing. So their ability to laugh at themselves makes them so endearing.
Well, that similar thing happened to me on Southwest. And the guy got on the line. He said, I asked the pilot whose fault that landing was, and the pilot said it wasn't his fault, it was Ash's fault.
That's cute. Okay, we've got time for a couple more callers, and this actually comes in from a friend of mine who was formerly a neighbor and is a pretty high-ranking official with Wells Fargo. And by the way, Wells Fargo does not sponsor Success Made to Last. He said that one time you said that banks are in the peace of mind business. What does that mean?
Well, I think that one of the problems in people, they think that they're in the business to make money. And all the great companies I have known is that their number one customer is their people. And if they take care of their people get highly engaged and they take care of your customers and then they become raving fans. And that takes care of the bottom line. And that, you know, with banks, you're not in the financial business. You're in the peace of mind business. How do you give people the funds to give them the peace of mind to be able to do the things that they think are important? Mm. And if you treat them as those kinds of people, then you're going to have a good relationship. But if it's all about, you know, you owe me this and you owe that, and when are you going to do this and all, it's how do I make a difference with the money that we have so that you can make a difference in your life that you have.
There you go. It takes the transactional, institutional side off of banking,
That's
doesn't
right,
it?
Yeah.
I watched a YouTube, so this is a Ricky question for you, but I was amazed at a seminar that you were running where you got everybody to stand up. And you took them through two experiences, one of which was to introduce themselves as, you're my long-lost friend. Yeah. Tell us about how you start that seminar, because I thought it was an interesting contrast to see how people introduce themselves and the energy difference that exists in a room.
I get them on their feet, and I think I first saw this from Tony Robbins, but say to them, for 30 seconds, go around and greet as many people as you can, but greet them as if they're unimportant and you're looking for somebody much more important to talk to. And people laugh and they go and do that. And then I said, okay, now what I want you to do is go around for 30 seconds and now greet people as if they're long-lost friends. And, of course, the place just goes wild. And I said, where is there more energy in the room? Obviously, the second. Well, how did I change your energy? All I did is I changed what you were thinking about. See, our minds and our computer are like a computer. They do whatever the input that you give them is, you know. And so if you put negative stuff in, negative comes out. And that positive energy comes from positive thinking. And that's what you want to do with your people, is constantly catch them doing things right and create positive energy for them.
That is great. Final question for you is for the startups that listen to Success Made to Last, and I want you to comment on establishing a vision and mission for their companies from the standpoint of a stakeholder. And you said something on a previous show about that making money is not a worthwhile goal. The byproduct is doing good things. So when an individual starts a company and they're mapping out who they want to be, and yes, they want to make money, but they also want to do good things, what advice would you give to a startup leader who's trying to write a mission and vision that they can actually follow and become and actually do good while making profit?
Well, there's three parts of a vision. I wrote a book with Jesse Stoner called, the power of vision. There's three parts. One is what business are you in, you know? So you ask people at Southwest Airlines, they think we're in the business of customer service. We happen to fly airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's your picture of the future? You know, what would happen, you know, if you did that? And their picture of the future is that everybody would be able to be with a friend and a relative in a happy time and a sad time. That's why there are low-cost airlines. And then what's going to guide your journey, which are your values? And so at Southwest, the number one value is safety because the business they're in. But then they have other values, which is, you know, one is this whole thing of being the best that you can possibly be, the driven part of the thing. But they also want to have servant heart as one of their values, and a good sense of humor, you know, which is Herb Kelleher's thing. And so they want to make sure everybody knows what their value is and what they're trying to do. And if you have that and you constantly do that, you know, I think that if you want to have a great organization, you're going to say your vision and values over and over and over again till people get it right. But start with that, and then you can build your organization and your strategy from that. But what business are you in? Who do you what's going to be the result? And all, like Disney, what did he say? We're in the happiness business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture of the future is that every guests leaving their park will have the same smile on their face leaving the park as when they entered. You know, and their values are safety is number one, and then courtesy is number two, you know, and they constantly are aware of these values that they have.
It's a really great point. And what you said in that was that there are just a few simple words that can describe a mission and vision. It doesn't have to be some long narrative.
That's right. You know, I remember working for a big bank one time, and I asked them if they had a mission statement. All, they sent it to me. And when I got up in front of the president and all, I said, thanks for sending me your mission statement and all, because I've slept so much better since I got it. because if I couldn't sleep, I had it next to my bed, and I would pick it up and read your mission statement. It put me back to sleep. I said, you know, if I was working for you, what would I say? You know, in the peace of mind business, you know, wouldn't that be a lot better than?
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. That is great wisdom. Doctor, thank you so much for being on today's show, and we hope to continue this marvelous series with you. You're a man of wisdom. And while I'm looking at you eyeball to eyeball, thank you, because you are one of my heroes.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate it.
You're not bad either.
Well, thank you. But I give credit to all those great mentors who have helped shape my life, like you. So until today, he was one of my secret incognito mentors. So for those of you that write great books, remember you can mentor people without ever having to meet them. Sometimes great books create guidance and lighthouses for others. So I really appreciate you. That was Dr. Ken Blanchard. We're going to continue his series here on Success Made to Last, and you can hear his entire series, including all the interviews that our co-founder Tim Moore has done as well. Just go to successmadetolast.com. Until next time, live the best version of yourself. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor.
And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.